Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my friends. How are you today? This is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. I'm so happy you're here. I'm so excited to share this incredible conversation with you today. I love Real-Time Heals. For those of you who are not familiar with the Real-Time Heal series on my podcast, I am a psychotherapist, been in practice for over 20 years, and I used to have a private practice back when I was just kind of doing this hour to hour before I wrote the book and started the podcast and trying to bring this message to the world. And so one of the things I do on this podcast that's been a real crowd favorite is people apply for Real-Time Heal, which is to have a live unscripted therapy session with me right here on the podcast in order to obviously get their questions answered, but also to use their stories to help others, which is incredibly lovely and generous and compassionate, and I love it. And it's just been one of the most popular things that I do in all of my work is just to sit on these calls with people for the podcast and just really get into the intricacies of their experience and their stories and their hopes and their fears and just for let me be right there with them, which is always such a privilege and a pleasure. So today we have Sophia, who wrote to me after having a failed back surgery that led her to different pains around her body. I learned on the call also a panic disorder and just struggling with what to do next. And I really felt her story and I knew what I needed to say to her. So I'm really excited to share that with all of you. I'm sure that although this is Sophia's story, every story is really all of our stories because we're all just doing our very best, left foot, right foot, breathe, getting through life, trying to grab as much joy and connection as we can. So I love the opportunity in such a raw and real way to share myself and others with you. So that's today with Sophia. I want to let you know that there are a few ways to work with me in person. People are always asking me, one of which is on May 11th, Caroline Dewey and I are going to do a mini retreat through the Omega Institute. It is going to be a sampling of what you'll get if you come in person to Omega August 1st through the 6th. And if you'd like to join us, it's just a Freedom from Chronic Pain sampler. It'll be a 3-hour program from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you'd like to join us, just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, and click on the Resources tab. That's where everything can be found. If you ever hear me talk about anything on this podcast, the Resources tab or the Retreats tab on my website, those two places are usually where you'll find all the information. In addition, my Inner Child Retreat on March 28th has been something that people have been asking me a lot about, trying to just purchase the recording because they weren't able to attend the retreat. So I've actually made a new event, which will also be linked to my resources tab on my website. If you would like to purchase that 2-hour Inner Child Retreat with all the original information, this has not been shared anywhere else, and the new original meditation that we go through and all the exercises, that is available for purchase as well. So just go to the resources tab at thecureforchronicpain.com. And finally, if you want to join me for a full weekend, it's coming up. It's not too far in the future, May 21st through the 23rd, with all of my Omega instructors, just bringing our best to you. Something we'll be doing in person for 5 days at Omega. But if you cannot make it to New York in August and you want to join me for that weekend, it's going to be incredibly intimate and connected. And I would really love to meet you and hang out with you and answer your questions. So all of those are linked to my resources tab, and the Omega one specifically, online virtual retreat is really highlighted in the retreats tab. And so you can really learn about the instructors and their bios and all that stuff. All right, my lovely friends. So I'm going to bring you this real-time heal. I'm excited to share it with you. If you are enjoying the podcast, please go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps people like Sophia find the podcast and really help everyone to avail themselves of this life-changing knowledge. All right, I send you big, huge love. I hope today is a good day and enjoy my real-time heal with Sophia. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Real Time Heal. Today, I have Sophia. Welcome, Sophia.
Thank you for having me, Nicole.
So Sophia wrote me. She's pretty young. I think you're 28, right, Sophia?
Yes.
All right. Just a young, sweet baby. And we certainly want to get her on the path to healing because you have so much life ahead of you, and I want to make that life as beautiful as possible. So Sophia, start wherever you're at, and let's take it from there.
Okay. So I do want to preface by saying I did message you about my back. So I recently underwent spinal fusion surgery in my lower back. This was August of 2020. And I have been having some pains after I had the surgery. And I messaged you about that. And the more I've been, you know, doing the work, uncovering things and listening to more podcasts, reading more, I'm kind of realizing that there is a lot more than that that I've experienced as far as TMS symptoms.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. And I didn't even know. Like, I'm like, I thought I was, you know, messaging her about my back, and come to find out, like, oh, yeah, anxiety, acne, you know, nausea. I had COVID as well in December. So there's a lot going on that I've kind of uncovered, you know, since I've been doing the work.
Great. Well, then let's, why don't we start with this? I know that in your letter, if I recall, you were having back problems, you had back surgery, and pretty much immediately after back surgery, you started having hip pain and upper back, upper shoulder, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So let's see, where should I start with more of my backstory, or
start with your backstory, because since we don't know each other, I need as much information as I can in order to help you. So why don't you start as far back as you are comfortable?
Of course. Okay. So I'm 28 years old. I live in Los Angeles with my husband. I grew up here in Burbank, and I was raised by a single mom. And, you know, my dad was around, but my mom was, you know, my primary caretaker. And she had a child with another man when I was about 9 years old. And so my childhood was immediately kind of parentified child. Mm-hmm. I, you know, had to watch my brother on the weekends as a 9 year old, babysitting an infant because my mom had to go to work. Right. And so I immediately kind of became that parentified child. I was a latchkey kid, you know, had to come home by myself, lock myself in the house, wait for my mom to come home. So I had to be responsible for myself, you know, from as far back as I can remember, really. And also my mom was, I like to call her a rageaholic. I love her dearly, but she was a screamer. And so I got screamed at a lot as a kid. And she was the kind of person who she needed to vent out all. She almost journal speaked in real time to me, basically.
Right. Oh, so she would. Hard.
Yeah. So, you know, she'd get out all her anger, even if it was about something silly, she'd blow up and then she'd be over it like 10 minutes later. But for me, I was very sensitive. So I absorbed all of that. And it was very, you know, confusing as a kid to have to go through all of that constantly. So I grew up with that. And I lived with her until about, I would say maybe 22. So I'm with my husband now, who was my boyfriend at 10 years now already. So since I was 18, I was with him. I was still living at home. I was going to community college, just trying my best to, you know, get my life started. And my mom was threatening me to kick me out all the time. Like, you need to go get a job. When I was your age, I was working and, you know, doing this and that. And she just kind of didn't understand, you know, the life situation of younger people these days. Like, it's not as easy as that. She was a bartender when she was 16 years old. Like, it doesn't work like that anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And so I feel like she kind of was, some parents like to give you more than they had. She was kind of like, I had to suffer, so you do too. That was the mentality that I got from her. And so at a certain point, you know, she's like, you got to get out of my house. I'm sick of this. And I said, okay. And my husband, my now husband, then boyfriend, asked his mom if I could, you know, move in with her and stay in her extra bedroom. And so she said, yes, I moved my stuff in. And my mom was shocked. She was like, well, I didn't really mean it. And I'm like, well, I can't take this anymore. I had to get out of there. So I moved in over there and things were okay. It was a completely different household. It was just his mom living there, but complete opposite of what I was used to growing up. Very quiet, just no emotional expression, just very much how's the weather talk. And right. It was very different for me. While my mom was a screamer, like I still considered her when I was a kid my best friend. We were still very close. She just, you know, got upset, and that's what I was used to. And so I was living there for a little bit, and then I remember just suddenly kind of having some lower back pain. And
so you were how old? In your early 20s at this point?
Yeah, early 20s, around 22, I think, is when it all started, really. I noticed lower back pain. I remember going to the doctor about it, and they said try some physical therapy, which I did. And it just kind of started getting slowly, but surely worse and worse. And also around 22, I had a major panic attack that took me to the ER. And this was when I was living at my boyfriend's mom's house after probably, let's say maybe like 6 months of living there. And this panic attack, it seemed like it lasted like 2 weeks. It was just fight or flight, constant fight or flight. For like 2 weeks straight, I freaked out. I went and moved back in with my mom because I was so scared, like it wouldn't stop. And I was dealing with this lower back pain. So not only did I develop like this anxiety disorder, quote unquote, but I was dealing with this back pain. So I, you know, eventually like kind of became immune to that.
Stay with your mom, or did you move back with the boyfriend's mom?
So I ended up staying with my mom. I moved back in with my mom. I just needed to be close to somebody who was a little bit more warm because his family's very cold. They're very dry and cold and, you know, just not very affectionate, which my mom was, but she comes with that other side, you know.
So I have a quick question here that'll help me as we move forward. When you did move back with your mom under this guise of panic and pain, was she kinder to you?
Yes, yes. I mean, she wanted the best for me. She wanted me, you know, to feel better. She hated seeing me like that. She's always been someone who's taken care of business. So she, you know, was like, well, let's get you to the doctor. I'm going to, you know, my friend told me about these herbs. This is for panic. You should do some yoga. You know, she's very much like, you know, she wanted to help and she was kinder to me and she felt helpless herself because neither of us knew what was going on. But she was kinder to me.
So let's just establish right here, which is the situation with so many people with TMS. Look at what the information your brain got, okay? Mm-hmm. You're in a situation that feels untenable to you. It feels unsafe because your mother is saying, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're old enough to have a job. You know, community college is not the way that I was raised. You know, do what I say, do what I do. So you rebel against that. You move out to a place where your feelings are required to be suppressed because of the environment and energy of the home. And then you start getting symptoms that allow you to come back into your more comfortable space, but now with kindness. Why would the brain let them go? Your symptoms are so adaptive. Your symptoms are so welcome for your mind-body system. Do you understand how this dynamic works? It's so normal that without even realizing it, without having any conscious intention, your body took care of you where you couldn't take care of yourself. It put you right back into the arms of your mother, but this time she's not a punishing mother. She's a caring mother, because why? You're sick. Mm-hmm. So this is just, I mean, my heart just swells when I hear these kind of stories, because of course you've been holding on to your pain.
Yeah.
Of course. Okay, honey, go on.
Yeah. So, and later on I did see a therapist who, and I thought I was just crazy. I thought, you know, people told me you have anxiety disorder, you have depression, here's pills, you know, get on Prozac. I did that. It made me freak out even more. Like, I was just trying to figure out what was going on with me. You know, someone told me, maybe you have a little bit of bipolar too, but it like didn't resonate with me. Later on, I saw a therapist who, I didn't see her for very long, but one thing that stuck with me is she said, now, you started having these panic attacks when you moved out into like a quiet, cold household. Right. And she's like, I think you have PTSD. I don't think that you have, you know, bipolar. I was like, wow, I didn't think that was something possible for me. Like, I'm
thank God for good therapists.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just had no idea. You know, you think that's for war soldiers. I don't deserve the title of having PTSD, but that stuck with me. And so it kind of, you know, made me feel like, oh, there's not something inherently wrong with me. And it started just making me think about my childhood more. But I never applied it to my pain. You know, the anxiety stuff, it made sense. Oh, yeah, I went into a quiet place and my body freaked out and started having trauma responses. I was panicking, but I never thought it had anything to do with my back pain. So after this, I was, you know, managing my anxiety, you know, back pain getting worse, going to, you know, I went to acupuncture. My mom got me sessions with acupuncture, trying to help me with both my anxiety and my back pain. That didn't do anything. Eventually, I did go. I got into university, Cal Poly Pomona, and I started going to school there, which was super, super intense. This was maybe about 24. And so I was commuting, going back and forth. It was very, very stressful. The back pain was getting worse. I even had to get doctor's notes, you know, that I couldn't. I went to school for hospitality management over there. And it's a very active school where, like, I couldn't even carry plates. We had this professional restaurant there, so I couldn't carry the things around. Right. I had to get a doctor's note, like, at 24 years old saying that, like, she cannot, you know, lift things, which is, you know, embarrassing.
I understand that. I was 19, so I hear you.
Yeah. So, you know, that was a really stressful situation, but I got through it. The back pain, though, just, you know, intensified. After I graduated college, I went immediately into this management training program with the company. I thought this was what I wanted to do. It ended up being a pretty terrible experience. Prior to this, I'm sorry, I had been going to a chiropractor multiple times a week. I'd drive like an hour and a half to the specific chiropractor that my mom's boyfriend had recommended. It was helping a little bit, but not quite, you know, nothing ever got better. I was spending so much money going and just like praying that, you know, this would help me. I never wanted to go see a pain management doctor. I never wanted to, you know, even consider surgery. So I was just going, hoping that I could, you know, that this would help it. Well, when I got my full-time job after I graduated, I couldn't go to the chiropractor anymore because I was working when he was working. And so I was in a work situation that was very toxic. The person above me who managed me was a very just aggressive and I just want to say terrible person, because she harassed the employees. I had my back go out multiple times there. I'd come home crying because of the stress from this job and what this person was, you know, doing to me and to the other employees. And I'd come home crying every day. My back pain got worse. And one day I was lifting like a box of something, trying to put things away. And I felt the electric shock go down my leg. My leg went completely numb and I just like ran out of my job. I'm like, I have to go. I need to go. I went home. I like could barely even walk on my leg. And I didn't even go to the emergency room. I went straight to the acupuncturist. that I had been seeing. And I was just raised to, like, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, keep going, you know, work hard. And so I wasn't taking care of myself, but this was like kind of a wake up call. I could barely walk. And, you know, the work situation got worse and worse. She, you know, basically discredited my doctor's notes because they are from chiropractors. She threw them on the table saying, this isn't even a real doctor. So I'm dealing with this. And eventually I go to the doctor. I had gotten an MRI that showed, you know, bulging discs, of course. And my doctor took me off of work. So I went on to short-term disability. And that is kind of when it felt like everything really fell apart. I felt like my identity was taken away from me. I've Right. been working and working and working. And suddenly I was at home doing nothing. And that was really hard. And at this point, I was actually living with my boyfriend, who was then my fiance, and he was struggling with alcoholism. He's now almost 2 years sober. I'm very grateful for that. But at this time, it was kind of over the course of our relationship, it was slowly, you know, slowly, like getting a little bit worse. And this is when I really was hyper-focused on it and kind of realized how bad it was. So it all kind of came to a head when I was off work for months, almost a year. I was trying to apply for other jobs, like get out of that situation. Felt completely unemployable. At a certain point, I understood what it felt like to be suicidal. I'm grateful I got out of that place. But I felt like I was a burden. I felt like I was unemployable. Like, who's going to hire a 25-year-old who's like back is out all the time, you know? I felt like I was just a burden on everyone. And I just didn't want to exist anymore. I mean, I never acted on it. And I'm grateful I got out of the other side and felt like, oh, thank goodness. But it was so hard.
I feel such connection to you for this story because of course you felt like that. I mean, that is exactly how someone would feel in that situation. So I hope you can have some self-compassion. It sounds like you do for that time in your life.
Yeah. It was hard and I got through it and I'm grateful for that. And I'm realizing, you know, I'm giving myself more credit now doing the journal speak because I'm realizing really the depths of what I went through because I kind of try to push everything under the rug.
Right, of course.
So basically everything kind of came to a head. I went and got a massage with my friend and the next day my back went out so bad that I couldn't walk. I physically couldn't walk. I had to crawl. I was in a panic. I had to get a cane. I couldn't walk. My mom came to the rescue, I finally agreed to go to a pain management doctor. He prescribed me Norcos, gabapentin, the whole shebang. And I never wanted to ever be on pills, but I was so desperate at this point. I'm like, give them to me. Like, I deserve this. I can't be in this pain anymore. Kind of finally made me feel validated in some way and scheduled some injections. And that same day I got home, my husband was supposed to be there to take care of me and he was completely drunk. And so everything was culminating all at the same time. We had this huge blowout. He drove off drunk and it was very traumatizing. And I'm only realizing now. He got sober and I'm so grateful for that. But after he got sober, I kind of swept everything under the rug. Like, oh, he's so much better now. I don't want to think about that time.
Right.
So I did the injections. They didn't work. The chiropractor even told me, don't get these injections. If you do, they're going to completely dry out your disc. So I'm getting all this information from this kind of Western medicine, Eastern medicine. So these people are telling me to do this. These people are telling me to do this. Never once did anyone ever mention any kind of mind body, anything to me. Which
is like a stake through my heart at all times.
I know. It's terrible because, and I don't know honestly if I would have been able to receive that information at the time. Right. To be
true
honest,
true readiness is everything. Yeah,
exactly. So I feel like everything, you know, it came into my life at a time when I needed it. But I did end up getting a new job, a secure job, a job that I really liked, but I was dealing with the pain. My husband was going through his own stuff. I was going through a year-long training program at this new job, so I really had to be on top of things. I could not be absent from work. Like I had to be strong no matter what I was going through, pain, anxiety, personal life, it didn't matter. And my husband actually ended up losing his job and related to his addiction problems and going to rehab. And that was kind of everything kind of culminated at that point, was just like I had a break. He was gone for 45 days and I had a chance to kind of breathe for a moment, but it was still like a lot of trauma that we went through. I mean, I won't go into all the details, but a lot of, you know, pretty awful stuff happened leading up to that. And at this point, my back was just such a problem that I'm like, I'm just going to go through with this surgery. I don't care what I have to do. I can't take it anymore. I've done everything. I've done massages, chiropractor, acupuncture, you name it. You know, the closest thing anyone tells you to mind body is, why don't you try some meditation or right. try some yoga? I'm like, I can't even move. If I bend over to touch my toes, I felt like I was going to break in half. Like
right.
the pain was so searing in my lower back and into my hips and going down my legs. And I had numbness, which I still do to this day, in my top of my calf of my foot. And, I would not have been able to, you know, do anything mind-body related. So I went in for the consultation. I scheduled the surgery, had the surgery this past August, and spinal fusion L4, L5, S1. And after surgery, after the initial few days, the second day of surgery was terrible. Like they did not realize that I had been taking prescription opioid medications like pretty much every day for the past year. So I was in excruciating pain, which is like another traumatizing event.
Second because your body had acclimated to the pills, so they didn't give you enough?
Basically trying to give me the same amount of pills that I was taking prior, which wasn't even that much. I took maybe one dose, half of the dosage I was even prescribed a day. But they were trying to cure my surgery pain with
right,
Narcos. Right. And so finally they put me on some sort of like pain regimen where they were actually giving me pain medication. But I got through it. You know, I got home. A couple weeks, you know, were just like a little bit sore from the incision. But after that, I felt like, oh my God, my pain's gone. I feel
so bad for you because I know how common this story is that people get surgery because they're at the end of their rope. Mm-hmm. And because the brain finally has a minute to rest, because the nervous system yep. can go into rest and repair saying like, okay, we have a solution. We did what we have to do. People feel so safe. And then the crash after is so hard. So why don't we get to that? Because I know that I want to have time to give you all of my input.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
No, you're great. And I need all the information, but I'm also mindful of the time. And I know that you have a lot of questions. So go on.
Yes. So I had the surgery. I felt great afterwards. I was like, I was walking around with a healed boot and I wasn't feeling any pain in my back. I was like, oh my goodness. I was going to the beach 2 weeks after my surgery, major spinal fusion surgery. My husband's a surfer. When he went to rehab, he learned how to surf. That was such a beautiful thing. So the whole summer, I had 2.5 months off of work. We were going to the beach multiple times a week. It felt just so amazing. I'm like, oh my God, I'm finally cured. This actually worked. I'm so glad I did this. Then about 2 weeks before I started work, I was starting to get really nervous. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was starting to get real nervous. And I'll also say that prior to the surgery, I had, you know, also hip pain as well as localized lower back pain. Like I could feel it in my spine. And then also I would have had an MRI of my neck, which showed some like minor slip discs, which is probably very normal, I'm sure. I was having some upper back left shoulder pain radiating into my arm. This was all before surgery. After surgery, they magically disappeared as well, even though it wasn't related to the lower back.
Yeah. And so I got to dip in for 1 second sure. here with some Sarno knowledge, because people who may be new to this work, when your nervous system is in sustained fight or flight, and when your brain is sending these pain signals to various parts of your body because of that, one of the greatest ways to know that it's TMS and not the result of the surgery that you got better is things that couldn't possibly have mm-hmm. been related to the surgery go away. So your L4 or L5 or whatever you got, and you can ask literally any medical doctor this because I've worked with so many of them, can't possibly affect the discs in your neck. It's just, it's not medically possible. It's an impossibility. But the fact that that pain went away too is showing us that you really were able to put a lot of stock and a lot of faith in the surgery, and your whole system went whoosh and decided that it was fine until, of course, what you're about to say next, because I remember it from your letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, totally. Like 2 weeks before I started work, I started getting nervous about going back to work. I don't want to go back to work. And going back to work is I'm teleworking right now. So it's working from home, but still work. Like, I don't want this vacation to end. I'm having so much fun. I'm, you know, enjoying myself for once in my life. Like, everything's been so heavy and hard. And, you know, I was starting to pre-grieve the end of what I call my disability vacation. And so then all of a sudden my hips started hurting again. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, oh no. And then my upper back and my shoulder started hurting. And this is all 2 weeks. And this is right when I started getting anxious about going back to work. The anxiety started and so did the pain, both at the same time. And since then, you know, this was in October, mid-October, it's persisted, and I've gone to physical therapy. I did all the physical therapy. I even got another x-ray because I'm like, something is wrong with my hips. What is going on? Something's wrong with the hardware. Got the x-ray, and what do you know? Nothing was wrong with the hardware. Everything was perfectly placed. They could not see anything wrong with my hips. That made me even more upset. You know,
right. I'm doing – of course, because we want a reason. We want a reason for our pain. Yeah.
Exactly. Then I got COVID in December, which is a totally separate thing. I'm having some minor long haul symptoms. But so I was off work for 2 weeks. And guess what went away?
Oh, honey.
My upper back pain went away while I was on – I was, you know, resting at home from COVID. And I'm like, this is so weird.
Can I tell you why I have such great hope for you? Because you're such a textbook TMS person that I know you're going to be totally fine. So just keep that in your back pocket, okay?
Yeah. It made too much sense, you know,
right.
All of it. And so I remember, you know, I'm doing these physical therapy exercises at home. I'm crying on my yoga mat because I'm in more pain after I do these exercises than before. You know, I'm, you know, doing everything they're telling me to do. Nothing's working. I'm just like thinking about how miserable I am, how I'm not enjoying this. I'd rather be out walking. That's the kind of exercise I like, but I'm stuck here doing this. This is every morning for the rest of my life. And you know, it was just misery and I never felt better. And so I discovered your work through My Favorite Murder, of course.
And, oh, I forgot you were an MFM person. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you always to Georgia Hardstark for shouting me out so many times and opening so many people to this work that would never have been open to the work. So
totally. And I know she had mentioned it a few times, I think, on her podcast. And I think the first time she mentioned, I'm like, oh, let me check this out. And I think I downloaded your podcast, but like the most recent one came up and I didn't know anything about TMS. And I remember being in the bathtub and I'm like, let me just put on this podcast. And I was like, what is this lady talking about?
I know.
You know, I just did not start at the right place. And so I don't think at that point either I was ready to, you know, receive the information because I'm like, what is this? I don't know about this. You know, everyone's told me to, you know, meditate or, you know, it's because of your feelings, maybe. You know, I've heard it, you know, here and there, but never explained in a way that you explained it. And so I finally, you know, picked up the podcast again where I got to a point where I was just so desperate. And I got the Sarno book, Mind Body Prescription. I got your book. I listened to the podcast. I'm like, oh my God, this makes so much sense to me. Like every time something happened, major happened in my life, there was a pain flare up or an anxiety flare up, or these things went away when I wasn't working and then suddenly came back. So it made 100% sense to me. And I'm like, yes, totally. This, and the personality traits. I want to be a do-gooder. I'm, you know, scared of getting in trouble.
Right.
Even meeting with you today, I was so nervous because I'm like, you know, I've been doing this for a relatively short amount of time. I don't feel worthy of her time, but I feel
don't feel that way.
I feel like there are a lot of people, you know, looking on your Facebook group that are very new to this that are probably feeling the same way that I am. So I hope that, you know, whatever comes about will help these people as well.
I'm sure it will.
And I started journal speaking. This is about 2 months ago. Immediately, I'm like, I go all in. I'm not afraid to be open with anyone. And so I'm like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, have a rant and I'm going to spill everything. Immediately, I felt like this rush of anxiety relief.
Awesome.
And I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, this is what it is. I did it a second day and I have those TMS tender spots in my hips, the unexplainable, just like where you press on your butt, the back of your butt, and they hurt. Like there's no, you know, or your hips. That went away. I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. And so I felt great for about maybe like 2 weeks, was feeling good about it. And then I started having migraines.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, this is a symptom imperative.
Right.
This is going to go away. And then it did go away. Then I got this one that totally like put me out. Like I couldn't work that day. I had to be in a dark room and I got scared. And like, this is not normal. Like I don't have these kind of headaches. So
it's totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
So normal. Oh, I can't wait to get my hands on you. All right. Okay. Keep going.
I'm almost done here. I'm sorry. So, yeah. And so basically, I mean, I think since the migraine, it freaked me out a little bit. And then I'm in the beginning, it felt like such a relief. And then I started getting these flare-ups again in my hips, a little bit in my upper back. Now my upper back's feeling better, but I'm still having it in the hips. And still having a lot of anxiety, which I know is another very common thing. Anxiety kicks up. It was weird because it decreased and then it kicked up.
Right.
So that's where I get freaked out too. And I think the flare-ups are kind of just, it's reminding me of the surgery and how everything was great initially and then things started coming back. And I feel like the belief is there because it all makes sense. Like you said, it's like classic TMS textbook
right.
patient. It makes sense completely, but I don't know if it's the patience and kindness for myself or some kind of doubt. Something is where I'm like, maybe this won't work for me. Oh, maybe I'm actually screwed up because I got the surgery and there is something wrong. I don't know. I feel stuck right now and the anxiety is kicking up. My nervous system is trying to distract me with all this stuff and it's hard to get through it right now. And so that's kind of why I reached out to you.
Okay. First of all, I just need to tell you this and I'm going to say it really probably many times. Sophia, you are going to be completely fine. I'm 100% sure. And I only say it when I mean it. And people might hear this podcast and say, well, Nicole, you say it a lot because I mean it a lot because I have been doing this work for over 20 years and your story is so textbook, it's boring. I'm asleep from your story. I'm asleep from your story because your story is not unique and your story is just a beautiful human story. And you know me when I'm not insulting you when I
no,
say I'm
I
asleep.
Know.
It's the best news ever when I'm asleep from your story, okay? Oh, so here's the situation and I'm gonna quickly go back through the timeline of your life. You are told from a young age that you have to work. You're 9 and you have to go to work. Take care of an infant. Go. Sorry, however you feel about it, you have to start to work and it starts now. Then you go through life and you try to educate yourself and go to community college and your mom goes, you really should be working right now. And your mom gives you deep love and also deep angst, and that is the conflict that makes most of us TMS beyond, because I always say it's the conflict that kills. If you feel all one way about something or all another way, usually you have complete peace around it, which is why people are usually able, unless they have other issues that are more nuanced, to get over the death of an animal more than they can get over the death of a human, even people who live for their animal, because an animal has no conflict. It's just there to love you and you love it. and it doesn't insult you or it doesn't trigger you or it doesn't remind you of what it said once that it then it said it didn't mean it, you know. And so conflict with humans is what keeps us very in the midst of our TMS. So here you have a mom who loves you deeply and stresses you deeply. Mm-hmm. And also her main, it seems like one of the main messages, if I'm just going by what I heard today, was you are not of value unless you work. Mm-hmm. And so now that is journal speak. Of course, I understand that in your mother's layered personality that we all have, of course she knows your value. But this is when we have to talk about TMS, we're talking about the messages that the inner child is receiving. So our grown-up selves can do a great job of being like, I understand the other person's point of view. I see where they're coming from. Oh, she didn't really mean that. The inner child hears, you're not okay unless you do what I say. And that's the person that is controlling our TMS. And so you make your best effort and you move in with your boyfriend's mother. I'm sure not realizing what a different energy. And I'm sure not realizing, of course, that's uncomfortable for you. This isn't your mommy. You know, this is somebody else's mommy. And this is, you know, and what you really wanted was just to be nurtured. Lo and behold, you get a panic attack that, you know, blows your mind and scares the shit out of you. And you get this lower back pain. And all of a sudden, mom is less concerned about work, work, work. Mom is concerned about taking care of you. Exactly what the inner child wanted in the first place. So here we set the nervous system on a path of absolute certainty that this is what you need to be okay. And what people don't understand and what I'm always teaching is the nervous system is not going to ask your opinion and it's not going to ask your permission to protect you. It's going to protect you in the way it thinks it needs to. That's why we don't get a choice to pull our hand off a hot stove. That's why we don't get a choice to jump onto the curb when a car is about to kill us. Like, it happens in a split second without asking us because it's here to save our lives. So you are in this life-saving prospect for the nervous system because what's our most basic human need? Our most basic human need is connection and love from those who are supposed to take care of us, because in our most primitive brain, that will mean we stay alive, right? If you were in some from some primitive tribe, you are going to get food and clothing and get cared for and get, you know, defended from enemies if you are loved and connected to. If not, you're outcast and you're on your own. So this is like really basic, very deep human stuff that's happening here. So you finally found something, even though you had no idea, and I know you wouldn't have chosen it, to get to a space of love and connection. Mm-hmm. You're sick. You're sick and you need help. And there's mom, and she's willing to do it. And she's paying for a chiropractor, and she's suggesting a doctor, and she's, you know, she's supporting you. And that is not – there's nobody at fault here. You're not at fault. She's not at fault. Your boyfriend's mom's not at fault. It's just the way it happened. And it's so normal for human nature to take this path of least resistance and to be like, I see this works, right? Do you understand that?
Yes. Yes, completely.
Okay. So that's what happened. It held on to something. And once the brain holds on to something, it begins to be conditioned. And that's why meditation is often prescribed to people from all different modalities, because meditation done on a regular basis actually rewires your brain. Your neural pathways are formed in ways that make sense to the brain, and we're always looking to rewire, which is what my work does as well. So in the same way, though, your pathways were being very deeply wired for connection to the pain being a safe space for you. So we're moving on in the story. You're getting all this stuff happening. And then, of course, the surgery is recommended. Now, the surgery probably, in addition to being all the obvious things, which is like, you know, you've been raised in the medical model and you've been taught, like all of us, that surgery is something that will help you and doctors are gods and, you know, all the things we're taught as kids growing up in the West. And so there's that, which is sort of unconscious programming. And then there's little nuanced things like your boss at your job being like, I won't take a note from the chiropractor, but I'll take a note from a doctor. Mm-hmm. So there's so many little subtle things that I heard while you were talking that just makes so much sense for the fact that this would be something that you put all your eggs in this basket. And it's funny, we're recording the day before Easter. All your eggs in the basket. And so so here we are. You get the surgery and it's hallelujah. It's hallelujah for a couple reasons. First of all, because you were so expecting the surgery to work that your nervous system actually really chilled. Hence, all the pain went away, things that could never have been related to the surgery. There's no way an upper back and shoulder and neck have anything to do with a lower back surgery, yeah. but hallelujah, because who cares? All you want is the pain to go mm-hmm. away. In addition, you're off from work. The one thing that since you're 9 years old, you have a deep resentment about, believe it or not, and I don't know if you know that, how angry mm-hmm. you are about work. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But you're off of work, and now you have a boyfriend who has stressed you the fuck out because he's in his disease and I'm a recovering addict. So I totally get it. I get it how you felt. I get it how he felt. I really do understand. I'm also the child of an alcoholic. So I have all sorts of perspective here, but I really get it. And you just need a break. You just need a break from your own brain. You need a break from his drama. You need a break from all of it. And now you have this lovely summer or whatever it was, you know, time. You said beach, but you live in California, so I don't know if it was the summer.
Yeah, it was summer last summer. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So here we are. Work is starting again. All that rage, which is probably somewhat unconscious, starts bubbling up. We've got the panic. We got the anxiety. We've got the natural anxiety about starting up something. And here we are again. So I just want to normalize it. Like the reason I went back and pulled you all the way through it is I'm really keen at listening to the little – like the breadcrumbs on mm-hmm. the on the way with people's stories, because those breadcrumbs are going to be helpful for you to really take this to the next level, which is what you're going to do after our phone call. Totally. Because I know this for you. So all that happened and here you are. So let me explain something to you about why you feel scared, because your chronic pain is not an epidemic of pain. It's an epidemic of fear. The pain moves around. Yeah, I mean, we could call it an epidemic of general pain, but it's not an epidemic of migraines or an epidemic of back pain or an epidemic of panic disorder, because those things just move around. And you're experiencing it firsthand in your own body. But I've been watching this happen for people for decades, which is the body is like a pinball machine. So you pull the ball back and you release that little lever and it's going to go bing, 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 because it just goes around your body to protect you. It's the most loving thing. It's so annoying and it's so confused, but it's really the most loving thing because it's going to get you anywhere it can get you, which is why I loved how you said, yeah, well, you know, the kind of the hip pain came and went. And, you know, I was like, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the panic came and went, but then the migraine, and you said, it scared me. Mm-hmm. And that is the perfect posture for the nervous system to be like, yes,
We got it.
We're safe again. It's like so sweet. It's almost like if you really step back from it, how lovely it is, because mm-hmm. it's really just trying to keep you alive. And this is why some people misinterpret not my work, because I'm very vocal about it, but general mind-body work as saying you have to like talk your brain into line because your brain is against you. I think quite the opposite. I think your brain and your nervous system are so for you that they don't understand that this is safe in the unsafest way. This is a terrible way to live, but they just say, wait, in bed with the lights out? Damn, bullseye. You know, safe as safe can be.
Yeah.
And so it's our job to correct this misunderstood process. So generally, the answer for you, Sophia, is you have all the answers. You just have a lot of fear. So I don't think your belief is the problem per se. I just think that you have complex PTSD, which mm-hmm. is totally normal. And we almost all of us have it, because trauma does not have to be capital T trauma. Mm-hmm. Trauma is a million little paper cuts. And we all suffer trauma as children. Even the most idyllic childhood, your parents can't meet all your needs. They can't meet all your needs that you were born with, meaning like the level of sensitivity you have, and they can't meet all your needs because they have their own struggles, and it's just the way it goes living a human life. And so there will be trauma, and there will be lots of little traumas, and I think you're starting to really identify a lot of yours, and probably there's a lot more that you're going to need to sit with, but it's okay. You know, the reason that you're getting flare-ups is because the nervous system – I want you to picture the nervous system like, I would say like an abused shelter animal. So
that's how I feel. I literally will describe that sometimes.
Really? Okay. Yes. Well, then it's perfect. It's a perfect analogy because that's when okay. So I have a dog and he is like the fucking king. Like the dog was brought into this house at 12 weeks old after being in a very loving home. And he has been, you know, never hit, never yelled at, never punished. Like the dog is the king. I'm looking at him right now, like, like stretched over my entire bed. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can lift your hand in the air and motion like bring it down within an inch of the dog's head. And he'll just like with his massive eyes open, just stare at you. All you have to do is lift your hand to an abused animal, a shelter animal, and they'll hit the ground. Mm-hmm. It's called fear and it's called conditioning. And that's exactly what's happening in your brain and your nervous system. So it makes 1,000,000% sense that you started journal speak, you got some relief, your reservoir is still up to here because you just started and you had, you know, maybe you needed this conversation, like you needed whatever you needed to get you to a place where you're in the groove with the work. And it doesn't trust you yet, you know, it just doesn't. And that's the case for almost all of us. And so what I think you need, which would be under the umbrella of belief, because of course my work has three facets: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. So under the umbrella of belief, what you need to have is faith. I don't think you need to have belief. Like, I think you've read the books, you've listened to the podcast, you know that you're not going to get another surgery on your hip. Like, you know that there's, mm-hmm. this is the only way. Yeah. So, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if that's the case, then belief is not your problem. It's like you need a deep inner breath. You need to know that you are exactly where you need to be. So please take this from me. Like, let this be the gift of being generous enough to share your story here today. Let me hand you my absolute certainty that you are 100% going to be free of this. I have no doubt in my mind because I hear in you the ability to do this. You just need a big internal deep breath, an exhale. You need to know that you're safe. Really, that's what it is. You need to know that you are safe. And I'm telling you, you are. Because no matter what has happened to you or any of us, if we know this information that we're talking about today that I teach, and we know what to do, which I know that you're explained to me in terms of doing journal speak, you do know what to do. You are safe. You can be safe anywhere. You can be safe anywhere. It's like recovery. With, you know, once you get recovery and you really work your program, you can go to a bar. You can go to a concert. You can go out to dinner when everyone else has wine. You're safe because you're doing what you need to do for yourself. It doesn't mean your life needs to be, in terms of you, Sophia, it doesn't mean your mom needs to always watch her manners. And it doesn't mean that you can't work and thrive at your job. And all the triggers that led here are not unsafe for you if you are in the middle of the boat with this work. And so it's just going to take some time because that shelter animal in there is just going to take its time, and it takes the time it takes to say, oh, I see. So like a person like me, I'm not that different than you. I get symptoms all the time. But when I get a symptom, I have absolute faith and absolute certainty. My shelter animal has been nurtured for long enough that I feel the headache coming on and I go, oh yeah, well, that makes sense because blah and blah and blah. And either I'll journal about it or I'll just, you know, what I call catch and release. I'll let it go and, you know, it passes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it stays all day because sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies and they are literally interchangeable. And that is okay. That is okay. But I really want you to know that if you understand that you can do a consistent journal speak practice, like the 30 minutes, so the 20 mm-hmm. minutes of journal speak followed by 10 minutes of meditation, and do it within that exhale, knowing that you are safe. You're already safe. You're already well. Now you just need to heal. You are going to be ecstatic at what can change in your body.
I needed to hear that. It's that you're already safe. You just need the time to heal. Right. Because yeah, my brain, my body, it feels like I'm not safe because I didn't feel safe for a long time. I felt like I was always waiting for the next shoe to drop, for the next bomb to explode. whether it being with my mom or then my husband, and, you know, taking on this caretaking role for, you know, my kid brother and then my husband. It's like I've never had the chance to take care of myself, and I'm finally doing it right now, and everything's just kind of bubbling over the top.
Yep, exactly. And that is something that, you know, I'm sure if you've been listening to my work, you hear me talk a lot about acceptance. Mm-hmm. And that transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. And the best way for you to convince your brain and your nervous system that you're safe is just to say, here I am. Here I am with my this and that childhood, with my this and that marriage, with my this and that mother, with my this and that job, you know, however you characterize it. So here I am. Okay. All right. Well, here we are. And then you start there, because it's not, nothing's wrong. You're a beautiful, textured person who's lived a life, and it's all served you to bring you to the place where you are today. So there's nothing wrong. There's nothing needs to be relived or refixed, or it's just about coming into alignment. You know, it's about integrating all these parts of ourselves without fear and saying, sometimes that feels like pain because our body is just so trying how to make sense of all this. How do we come together? And when we don't know this information, it's a panicked process. But when we do know this information, then when the panic comes, we can say, ah, there you are. I see you. I know you're here to help, but honestly, you don't feel good to me. Can you pass through instead of stay? You know, I often say the old Buddhist trope, you are the sky and your feelings are the weather. You're the sky though. Sophia, you're the sky. Like you get to be this expansive thing. And when the panic cloud comes through and when the hip pain cloud comes through or the migraines say, ah, there you are. I know you're part of me and I'm not looking for you to be shut down and silenced because that's always what made us scared. I'm looking for you to be heard and to move on. And it will.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely the part I struggle with, I think, is that acceptance part. So initially I was thinking, is it my belief? No, maybe it's my acceptance part of you know, trying to accept what is happening to me, you know, now and saying it's okay that, you know, this is how it is for today.
And here's something that can really help you with acceptance. The whole concept of life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. So you don't have to practice acceptance. You can have the pain. Whatever you think. You understand? We're kind of tricking your brain when we play that game, but that's the point. Whatever you want, but you can't have both. You can't have being pain-free and not having acceptance. It doesn't work because the nervous system is responding directly to the input it's getting from you. And lack of acceptance equals fear, and fear equals fight or flight. And fight or flight equals symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot. And let me just tell you from my heart, honey, I'm so sorry that you went through all this. I really am. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like a lot. And I sometimes just get scared that it's like so much that it's – I'm trying not to make attachments to outcomes, but it feels like so much stuff has happened that it's going to take forever. And it makes me nervous. And it's so, like, I know I'm not beyond repair. I have to remind myself that, but it's like those thoughts that come up. You know, you've been through way too much. How are you going to get through this? How are you going to get things, you know, how are things going to be better? Sometimes you can't imagine things being better. And I do see a therapist and she, you know, supports the work that I'm doing with Journal Speak completely. And even with that work, it's like, sometimes it's just like, well, coming to terms with the traumas that you've gone through after pushing everything down. And even you mentioning some things about like work, like I have this, you know, anger towards work. That was one of the main things I journaled about, was I don't want to go to work today. I hate this job. I hate doing this. I have taken care of everyone. Why can't anyone take care of me? It's like, there are some things that are unavoidable. And it sometimes feels like it's like a a loop of like Groundhog's Day or something.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I want to ask you a question. Remember that feeling you had when you did your journal speak and you couldn't believe it, but the hip pain went away?
Mm-hmm.
Honey, you are not going to take a long time to get well. You are not going to take a long time to get well. The amount of what quote unquote has happened to you is not in direct relation to the way you get well. The nervous system is looking to feel safe. A lot has happened to me. A lot mm-hmm. continues to happen to me. But because I know I'm safe, I'm the sky. And sometimes it's a rainy day and the clouds cover it from corner to corner. But I know tomorrow there probably will be sun. When we can get you there, which I hope that this call is a big part of that, you need to realize you are so not unfixable. Like, I am not just saying that to make you feel better. I wouldn't say it if you had a closed attitude, okay, and you had far less things happen to you. Let's just say you had a lovely childhood and you just were a super sensitive person, which I get people on here like that all the time. I might not say that. I might not be this adamant because I might be like, well, she's got a closed mind, and a closed mind can be a life it could be a lifelong thing, a closed mind. But you don't have a closed mind. You have an open mind, and you have willingness, and you have self-reflection, and you have openness. I'm telling you, it's not going to be what you think. I'm just telling you. I've just done this for too long. You are so fixable. You are so able. And as soon as you understand there's nothing to be scared of, you are going to start to see results really quick. And be patient with yourself if that doesn't come right away. Mm-hmm. But I am telling you from a space of absolute certainty, there is nothing to be scared of. Nothing is wrong with you. Nothing can be fixed on surgery. Nothing can be fixed with a pill. So hallelujah, because if nothing's wrong with you, you don't even have to go down that road. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is know you're safe, have faith in the process, and do this work. And any chance you get, practice self-compassion instead of self-loathing, and you will be fine. And be patient, because it's ups mm-hmm. and downs.
Yeah, yeah. To hear you say that, it means a lot. And it's like I had to go straight to the source, because I've, you know, most chronic pain, you know, patients or people, TMS people, like, have had to, you know, do so much research and investigation. And I kind of just was like, I don't want to do all that this time. I'm just going to go bare bones. I'm going to listen to this podcast. I'm going to read the book, and then I'm going to just do it. And then all the doubts started creeping up, and I'm like, let me try and go straight to the source. And, you know, hearing it from you, it definitely helps. But you're kind of just bringing up things that I know, and I need to remind myself of, like, this is classic. And I, right. In the very beginning when I started this, I'm like, this is 100% me. And I guess just reminding myself that, and I love to be unique. I'm a singer-songwriter. You know, I'm a performer. I want to be unique. And to hear that I'm not unique, it's like, it's a relief for once.
Yeah. This is the one place you do not want to be unique.
Yeah. Yeah. To hear that you're bored with my story, and that, you know, it does kind of reassure me and kind of reaffirm what I know inside, that I just need to remind myself of, because the doubts and all of that, that it's not real. It can be real in the moment, but
it feels real.
It feels real. But it is passing through. And like I mentioned before, with like the suicidal thoughts, it was like, it felt so real in the moment that I finally like kind of understood where people were coming from, where I never did before, of like, when people say, I felt like a burden to everyone. When I felt that, I was like, oh my God, it feels completely 100% real to me. But then some time passed, I got over the hump and I was kind of like, whoa, what was I thinking? But it felt so real at the time. So it's kind of like, I don't know if it's tricking your brain or
it's
what.
It's not tricking your brain. It's just acceptance.
Acceptance,
so like, like, for example, okay, so I'm not going to go into it, but I have this thing going on in my life right now that can cause me to feel very anxious. And so when it comes, like, my heart gets beats mm-hmm. and like, and I just go, oh, wow, it's so interesting. It's a real sensation of anxiety I'm feeling. So instead of being like, I'm anxious, something's wrong, I have to fix it, I'm like, that's so interesting. Well, I just got that news, or I just heard about that. And that's a real, I'm feeling that sensation of anxiety. Wow. Let me see if I can just sit with it. I'm telling you, it's like just, it's all so boring. And when you let it just be like, oh, I see, that's a migraine. Interesting. All right, well, let me do what I need to do, you know, turn off the lights, but like, huh. All right, well, you know, it's moving through me. I also want to take any shame. So this is like what I want to close with. Mm-hmm. I want to take any shame out of your process. You would never shame an abused dog for lowering its head when you lifted your hand. Mm-hmm. And you would never shame it for doing that every time for the first 100 times until it realized, wow, she's just getting ready to give me a treat. And little by slowly, that dog may always initially, and that's another thing. You are not responsible for your first reaction to anything ever. You're only responsible for your second reaction. So stuff is going to happen in life. Someone's going to raise their voice at you, or you're going to see a drunk person, or you're going to have a boss give you the side eye. And your first reaction is going to be that attached to your stored trauma, which is like the little spooks, you know, that like make you feel like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
that's fine. It's called a reflex. You are never responsible for that. What you're responsible for is your second reaction, which is pause, look at the situation. Am I really safe right now? Okay, I am. Okay, I see what just happened. I see where it triggered me. What do I want to do now? I want to take a deep breath. I want to take step out and take a walk. I need to go to the bathroom. I need to have a snack. I want to have a glass of water. Whatever it is, and take charge. But don't judge yourself or shame yourself like you were saying, like, oh, what, when it flares. Okay, it flares. A flare is a reflex. What are you going to do now with it? You're going to breathe. You're going to practice acceptance. You're going to realize that the only way out is through. Mm-hmm. You're going to realize that if it took you 28 years to walk into the woods, you're not going to walk out in 2 months. So, okay, whatever. The big whatever, you know, I'm going to do this because you're going to do this and you are going to be okay. Mm.
Thank you so much. I feel hopeful. I feel kind of a renewed sense of direction because I was feeling really lost about everything and not knowing why everything was happening, why I felt doubts. And it's silly because everything is so, it is so textbook and it is just me coming into that acceptance, which definitely makes a lot of sense.
All right, honey. Well, thank you so much for coming on and being so brave and so awesome and sharing your story. I know it's going to help so many people.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, keep me up to date, okay? Keep in touch with me and let me know how you are.
I will. Thank you, Nicole.
You are so welcome. All right, guys. That has been another awesome real-time heal. If you're enjoying the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you could go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps more people like Sophia find the podcast, which of course is sorely needed. And until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.